Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest again today is RX Gamble. She was so good last week that Richard and I wouldn't let her go home unless she promised to come back and visit with us again today. So last week's show was good. If you have not heard it yet, I recommend you listen to it. And we're hoping today's good too. So before we talk to RX again, Richard, we used to have somebody document our shows. What happened to that?
Yeah, I just want to give a big thank you to David, who was a volunteer. If you look at our past shows going back a few months, you'll see that we had show notes, which was really a great thing. And that was all done by a volunteer named David, who I want to really thank for his hard work, because it is a bunch of work, and he was doing it as a volunteer, but he has moved on to bigger and better things, and we wish him well. And if anybody misses the show notes and feels like they want to jump in and do them for us, that'd be great.
And we'll pay twice as much this time.
Yeah, right, right. But anyway, so a big thank you to David. And just to let people know when they email me and go, hey, where are the show notes? Like, but I will, on this episode, put in the show notes a link to RX Gamble's blog, which is rxgamble.com, and you're on Twitter as well, right?
Yeah, same name.
RX Gamble.
Yeah.
So
probably a hashtag in there somewhere. All right. So last week we were talking about an incident that happened in a really small town of in Louisiana, where for some reason the sheriff treated you like a human being.
Yeah.
And there was this Vietnamese guy who was a teammate who was involved in the story. And I said we were going to hear more about that Vietnamese guy this week. And I was referring to, in her blog, RX Gamble, a story about a man she calls Hua, H-U-A. Is it Hua?
Hua.
Hua. Hua? Like, almost like a Q? Just a...
Sure. Yeah.
Hua. Hua. All right. So... is that the same guy?
No, this is a different guy.
Okay, so, but the story, there's more than one story about Qua, but one I particularly wanted to hear about was you were going on a trip with him, and he really wanted to beg off because his fiance wasn't really crazy about him going off with his hot girl and gambling. So tell us about that story.
Yeah, I've worked with Hua for 13 years, a really long time, and he does not know how to communicate. He's a very poor communicator. I know what he's saying because it's been so long, but if you ever met this guy and he told you he's an AP or he's won seven figures in the casino or he has a system, whatever, you would never believe this guy. You would think he was full of it, no
Sounds
doubt.
Like he's the perfect BP.
Yeah, he's awesome. He can get action down. So so we plan a trip, and this is after I have the baby, so it's a little bit harder. I have to plan ahead. And he calls me a few days before, and he's like, let's cancel. And I was like, there's no way. We're going. So we're coming from different cities, and he calls me the morning of. We're supposed to catch our flights, and he says, let's cancel. And I was like, get on your plane. We're going. So we meet at our destination.
You're real hard ass as a boss.
Well, I mean, come on. I had to take, I had to make arrangements for my son, and I want to work. I like working. So, and this is supposed to be a really good spot. This was a good place to go. So we're driving to the casino, and he explains to me that his fiance, which I knew he had, but I have not met, didn't want him to go. And from her, where she's standing, he's traveling across the country with a girl. Looks like a vacation and they're going to gamble. It's odd. And he doesn't explain what we do.
Has he seen pictures of this girl? The pictures look like she might be hot.
I don't know. But yeah, so I get where she's coming from. It's odd. And he doesn't explain himself well. So even if he tries to tell her what we're doing, even some APs, they just won't get it. So he's basically like, we cannot lose. There's no way I can go home a loser. It cannot happen. I'm like, okay, cool. So we lose, of course, because how else course. Could the story go, right? So we lose 10,000 over the weekend, and he goes home a 5K loser.
Which, so, as trips go, is pretty small change.
It wasn't a ton for what we were betting, but it matters. $10,000 is a lot of money. So, uh-huh. Especially if you don't gamble and you just work a 9-to-5, like, that's a lot of money. He goes home, he's down $5,000. So a few days later, he calls me and he says, the wedding's off. And this thing, this situation caused them to break up. And maybe they had other issues. I don't know. This was kind of a big deal, though. If my boyfriend did it, I'd get it. But if someone else's boyfriend, like, I get it. He goes on vacation with another girl. He comes home $5,000 less. Like, I get it. So I'm like, you know, Hua, you don't know how to communicate. Have her call me. Have her email me, whatever. I will explain it to her. He's just like, no, it's over. And this was like, I don't know, a year ago, and they never got back together. That just broke them.
You know, when you were telling this story and he was saying, I have to win, mm-hmm. I was like, this is not a guy who should be engaged. Like, if, right. if this girl doesn't understand what it is this guy is doing for right. a living, like, forget the fact that he's traveling with a woman. It yeah. sounds like just the whole
gambling.
Advantage play
yeah.
job. Like, explain yeah. what it is he does for a living.
She was kind of new. They had been together a little while. I knew about her. It wasn't like a week, but I don't know. We hadn't gone on a trip. It was our first trip since he had been engaged, and she didn't get it. And even if he tried to explain it, he doesn't explain things well. So she
is
didn't get it.
Is it possible he explains things better in his native language than he does in English?
Yes. Yes, this is very possible.
And was this woman a countryman of his? Or
No.
So, okay. Yeah, I think... Not knowing anything more about this than what you mm-hmm. just told us, is that this is a good thing for him.
Sounds like he should not be married to her.
There have been cases where people come to me, husband and wife, and he wants to gamble and she just wants to break him of it, or the other way around, and mm-hmm. they ask me for advice, and I get very uncomfortable giving marriage
you
advice.
Tell them to break up.
I have not had... the most stellar success at staying married myself, but gambling was it's like if one of them just can't accept it, then the other one has to choose which is more important.
I mean, I don't know, do gamblers come to you or APs? I mean, obviously there's a huge difference.
The two times that it's happened were both APs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've said many times on the show that mm-hmm. My wife got it from the very beginning.
That's
she
good.
Understood what I did was a job, and that's one of the reasons I married her, because I
it's a
had
big deal.
A very difficult time meeting women who would understand it. Mm-hmm. They just mm-hmm. didn't get it.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, I've had a couple of people come to me, and what I tell them is, you have to tell them the truth. Like, they didn't want to tell the girl that they gambled for a living. I'm like, you cannot try to marry somebody without
them
knowing that. Like, you have to tell them. And I do know one guy where he went and told them, and it ended up breaking.
I mean, it's so hard to believe. Yeah, I win. I mean, who wins, right? Like, this guy, Hua, like I mean, this was his fiance, but this guy, you would never guess, wins, is highly skilled. You would just never guess. So.
Yeah.
I'm sure she didn't get it.
Have you maintained the relationship, working relationship with this guy?
Oh, yeah. We've been friends a long time, yeah.
I actually, you know, I think my wife would not be happy with me traveling with a woman.
If she didn't know that woman. I mean,
yeah,
if she knew the woman,
maybe, mm-hmm. maybe. But, yeah, I mean, but that's just her nature. Mm-hmm. You know
yeah,
what I
no,
mean?
I get
but,
it.
But that would be a bigger deal than the winning or losing.
Yeah. I get that. But my boyfriend, I taught him everything I know. And he knows everyone, almost everyone I know. So he doesn't care. He's just like, go ahead, make some money. Yeah.
He doesn't go with you? He doesn't play?
Oh, we've played a lot. It was before we had the baby, because obviously that, you know, puts a wrench in things. But sometimes we drop the baby off at the grandparents' house on the other side of the country. And we go work, and then we pick the baby up, and we come back to Vegas.
Ah, that's good.
Yeah.
You need grandparents closer.
I know, this is a thing, yeah.
So, let's talk about the baby. There's, it's got to make a significant adjustment to being an AP. So, how has that changed your life? Is it 2 years now?
He's 2 years. He was not planned. He was not an accident, but he was not planned. side story, like doctors told me like I could never get pregnant. It was not going to happen. So
so there's no reason to take birth control.
Right. And so when I met my boyfriend, we did IVF. This is just a real quick side story. And we banked some stuff. Let's just put it that way. For when I turned 40, we would have a baby. So when I wasn't 40, I got pregnant and it was like shocking. So we had a baby and the first year was just so hard. It was so hard because we're gamblers. We wake up at noon. It was so hard. I can't even explain to you how hard it was. But I didn't work. I didn't go in the casino at all when I was pregnant. I think I went once to see a show, but I didn't work. I wanted to stay. And that's when I was writing my book. And then 3 months after I had the baby, I didn't work. And this is where, just rewinding, I guess, to last week, this is where having quality people like in your life matter, because I'd been out of work for a year and somebody called me up and said, hey, there's a really good spot here. Let's go. So I didn't have to scout. I didn't have to do anything. I had to get on a plane and go to this place. And people know that I work hard and I'm good at what I do, but he didn't have to call me. There were other people to call. So we go and we make a decent amount of money, and I come home 4 days later, and it was a nice start back into working. But I had to make arrangements. I had to have somebody help my boyfriend with the newborn. And so basically the way it's changed my career is that I can't just hop on a plane and go somewhere. I have to plan ahead. And like my whole adult life, my whole self-worth came from how much money I had. Like, more money, I feel better about myself, or, you know. But now I have a baby and he's awesome, and that matters more than money. So if I don't make $1 million when I go on a trip, it's fine, because I have this little person and he's awesome and he's like a genius. And so he comes first. And I'm also on a schedule. Like, I can't work 3 shifts in a row. I can't be somewhere when I need to be somewhere, so I miss opportunities. But it's fine.
Still wake up at noon?
No. No.
They don't allow that.
No. He didn't sleep for the first 6 months. He slept 6 hours a day. It was odd. And it was broken up, like 2 hours here, an hour here. It was so hard. Yeah. Don't have a baby until you're ready. I suggest it. It's awesome, but don't do it till you're ready, for sure.
Well, good. I'm not ready yet. I'm only 71, so I might get ready.
Oh, you look so good, really.
Oh, bless you. But all right. There was a story about Ellis Island.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Ellis Island. I had just quit my job, so I was fresh, and I was with my first partner, who I met on BJ21, and he was also new at this, and we were playing hole cards by now because I quit my job.
Oh, wait a minute. How old were you when you quit your job? Because you were 21 when you started, right?
Yeah, I guess I was 24. I took a leave of absence when I was 23-ish because my father was sick, and then I never went back to work. So I was 24. Yeah, I was 24. So he was 24 also. So we're in Ellis Island. We're looking for hole cards, and I take a seat to check out a dealer, and I'm betting like $10. I'm still counting. Counting is fun. The count goes up. I bet, you know, $20 because I'm just checking the game out. And we could see the foreman. It's like midnight, so we maybe later. But I could see the foreman looking at us. So my partner says, you know, let's go. Okay, fine. So we walk outside, and we're in the parking lot, and we're walking to his car, and security comes out and tells us to stop. So we don't stop. We keep walking. Security grabs him, and then they grab me, and security grabs my left arm and pushes me to the ground. And I have my hand in my right hand, or my, sorry, my phone in my right hand. So I call 911 and I say, Ellis Island security is kidnapping me. And then he grabs my right hand and my phone flies. So they put us in the back room. They handcuff us to the wall. The foreman comes in, and we were like, you know, what the fuck? And he said, you were cheating. I called the cops. And I was like, no, I called the cops. So he leaves. So we're back there. And he had no idea what he probably thought we were counting, which, you know, I couldn't see the hole card. So technically we were. So the police come, and I can hear them outside the door.
That was what he thought the cheating was?
Yeah, it was so, he just, the end result is they just wanted to fuck with us. Bottom line. He was bored that night. He wanted to mess with us. Sorry, I needed a drink. So the cops come.
What time of day is this?
This is, it might have been 1-2 in the morning. It was after midnight.
Because they're loaded with hookers at that time of night. I mean,
Ellis Island, it was a weekday.
So they have a few hookers in there.
It was pretty dead in there.
So, and this had nothing to do with, like, recognizing
you or nothing. No. We weren't, nothing. I was so clean at this point, nothing. But, so.
And is it possible that he literally thought cheating was counting cards? I mean, that counting cards was cheating?
Well, the cops thought that. The cops said that to us. Because we said we weren't cheating. Because we actually said to the cops come in, and I'm so glad because I called them. They come in, and right away, they're just jerks to us, and they want our IDs. And so we give them our IDs, and we say, we don't want you to share this information with the casino. And they laugh at us, straight laughed at us. And so eventually, somewhere while they're in and out of the room, they're threatening to send our names and our pictures to every casino in Vegas. And of course, we're like scared, and they said they're going to call Griffin. And at this time, Griffin mattered. And it ended up, they didn't even have a Griffin account. Like, they weren't even, they couldn't have put us in Griffin. So anyway, we say at some point we weren't cheating, we were counting cards. And one of the cops gets in my partner's face and says, "What are you, a lawyer?" And like yells at him. And so my partner doesn't say anything. And then the cop says, "You're going to do real well in jail, I'm sure of it." And he's like threatening him. So the cops are in and out, and we don't answer any questions. And the foreman's in and out. And I just assume they're having their 99-cent breakfast. I don't know what they're doing. So 4 hours later.
The barbecue there is pretty good.
Is it? I don't go there, surprisingly. Yeah. So 4 hours later, they let us go. There's no fanfare. They don't say anything. They're like, "Oh, you can go now." And they just wanted to fuck with us for 4 hours. The cops and the foreman. It was so beyond ridiculous. So we get out and we go to my partner's house and we take pictures of our bruises on our wrists from the handcuffs. And we wait till 9 and we call Bob's office. And I tell Bob the story, and I haven't met Bob yet at this point. And he's like floored. And I think Bob was kind of just getting into representing APs. Like, he had, you know, the gross gene stuff. And then that's how I knew to call him. And so we called him. We went to his office, and him and Theo were just, they couldn't believe this happened. So he agrees to take our case, and we sue. We sue Metro, and we sue the casino. And we did our depositions and whatever. And there was we were very green. And there was a very small chance that if we lost this case, if it went to trial, we'd have to pay their legal fees, which would have been substantial. And so we don't have tons of money. And this probably wouldn't have happened, but we were scared. So we settled for $40,000, which is, it was a six-figure case for sure. Like, we could have won a lot of money. It was a slam dunk case.
That was $40,000 from Ellis Island, it was, not from the cop.
No, it was $35,000 from Ellis Island and $5,000 from Metro.
Wow.
It was, and then Bob takes his cut, and then we split it. It was nothing. It was nothing at all. And I regret not following through. It was a bad call to settle. But yeah, that happened.
I think, as you say, maybe if this was early in Bob handling these kind of cases, mm-hmm. I think today he probably would have said to you.
Yeah, and I talked to him about this when I was apologizing about the Supreme Court thing. I brought this up, and he, because I was asking him questions about my book. That's why I kind of interviewed him, and we went over some stuff, and he said, "Yeah, that's a six-figure case now for sure." And it was then. I mean, 4 hours, they have an hour to investigate. And then they have to let you go or arrest you. That's the law. So it was not okay. And then I saw the cop at Starbucks once, like 4 years later, and I was raging. I just had to leave. I was so mad.
No, but why? We talked about the Planet Hollywood episode mm-hmm. last week where they held you for 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And that was after this. And so you knew they were only allowed to hold you for one.
Yeah. And what's funny about that is Planet Hollywood backroomed me. And I was sitting in the back room with the head of security, and we were both watching the clock. He knew that they had an hour to get there. We both knew it. And I'm not even exaggerating. 1 minute to go, Metro bike cops walk in, and then 8 hours later, I'm arrested. But we were both watching the clock. Like, that guy knew the rule.
Well, but why are they allowed 7 more hours?
They charged me. They had reason to believe I committed a crime, and they charged me, you know, with a bunch of stuff.
But then why keep you there? Why not take you downtown?
They thought it was some big thing, and they brought in the police. Metro came on, you know, bike cops, and then they brought in detectives. I was arrested. They put me under whatever they Miranda rights. I don't know. They arrested me while I was back there. They let me know I was being arrested. And so I guess that's why. Huh. Yeah.
When you mentioned the 1 hour last week, mm-hmm. you said it, something to do that was in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Was the is this 1 hour rule nationwide, or would that
be
different? Sounds like it would be a state rule, or
I feel like it's a reasonable law, like it makes sense. So I just assumed in Louisiana. I mean, we were out of there within an hour. I just assumed it counted there too. I really don't know.
Okay. So. Good. All right, we are going to take a commercial break, and we're going to continue talking to RX soon. South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. Each week, Monday through Thursday, the gift giveaway related to the inaugural South Point 400 at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. The gift from August 20th to 23rd is a... Why don't we do it the following week? The following week is actually going to be the a logo jacket with South Point 400 on it. It's South Point 400 is the first race in the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. They'll be on September 16th. The ninth class in the free video poker series will be Tuesday, August 28th at noon in the Silverado Lounge. The class is bonus deuces progressive. Now, we normally, when we teach bonus deuces, we teach the 99.45% version. This week, we're going to teach the 98.8% version, so it's tighter, but they have progressives. And there's two separate banks of 12 machines, quarters, that one of them is almost always positive. And so the first hour, we're going to teach the base game, which is 98.8. And the second hour, we're going to talk about the adjustments you make for the progressive. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the game. The game of the week is Wheel Poker Deluxe. This is a game where you pay an extra 5 coins per game, meaning triple play costs 20 coins, 5 play costs 30 coins, 10 play is 55. And the bonuses come on dealt trips, full houses, and quads. Slightly different for Deuces Wild variations. If you get one of these bonuses, you spin the wheel. When the wheel spins, it lands on a drawing opportunity. Sometimes it's 100 play, 4 to a flush. Sometimes it's 10 play with a pair of aces. Sometimes it's triple play, 4 to the royal, etc. There's no skill involved in the hold for the bonus, and the bonus is earned on the draw, meaning that if you know the strategy to the base games, you know the strategy for the Wheel Poker Deluxe version. So it adds a bit of EV with a bit of variance. All right, we're back talking to RX. There was this Qua, your guy who didn't communicate and lost a fiance. Mm-hmm. One of the stories they had about him on your blog happened in Tahoe.
Oh, yeah.
Can you, I thought that was an interesting insight into the AP life.
Okay. Yeah, I wrote about this. So... I take a trip with Hua, and on this trip, I take a civilian friend with me because she didn't have a job. She was broke. She wanted to make some money, like my best friend. So I'm like, come hang out with me. I'll give you 10% free roll. And I was like, just, you know, sit next to me because usually I'm alone in the casino. So I was like, sit next to me, look like my friend. You know, if we need a seat, go get the seat, which is funny because we needed a seat one day. Side story. And I was like, you're just get the seat. When the seat opens, take the seat. And I went and did whatever I was doing. And I come back and there's a different person in the seat than was there when I left. And she had gone to the bathroom. And I'm like, no, we need the seat. Like, that's, it was important.
She's total civilian. But you don't understand. She had to go to the bathroom.
No, you get that seat and then you go to the bathroom. So I'm on a trip with Hua and we're in Tahoe. And we don't have an opportunity, but I know that about 4 hours away, there's a game. So it's it starts at 5 a.m. So it's midnight and Hua's sleeping because we're on a break. And my friend has never met Hua, the friend we'll let's call her Razor. This is her name. So Razor has never met Hua. So Hua's sleeping and I wake him up. I'm like, Hua, we got to go. This game starts at 5. Let's go. And he is not happy that I woke him up and he's yelling at me. And it's just the relationship we have. It's fine. And he's yelling at me and Razor's like, are you sure this guy's okay? I'm like, no, it's fine. So Hua gets up. He's like, all right, you're driving. All right, fine. So we get in the car. We drive 4 hours and we're in the parking garage of this place and the game starts in like 20 minutes. So we go in separately. At 5 a.m. rolls around. This is a whole card game and specifically. So I get the seat and Razor sits next to me and then I can see every card. This is a 100% game. This is the best, you know, you
like
can get.
14% advantage or something?
12. Oh, let's call it 12.
Okay. It's 13 if you were to play it full out, but you never do. So
right. We were pretty aggressive on this. Yeah, we were pretty aggressive. This casino could take it. So we're betting. So Hua gets to the table. It's perfect. It's just us three and he's betting. And in a couple hours, we're down 30,000, which is all the money we have on us. Sucks, right? So we quit the game and Hua drives... I go to sleep or whatever. Hua drives 4 hours to a teammate's friend's house in another city to get more money. And then he drives back. So this takes Hua like 9 hours. He takes a nap. And then 5 a.m. rolls around again. I get the seat. Razor's with me. Hua starts betting. And now we can't lose. We cannot lose a hand. And in like 4 hours, we're up 90,000. Awesome. And I want to keep going. Like, we're not getting any heat. This is just perfect situation. And Hua's giving me the leave signal. Like, let's go, let's go, let's go. And I'm like, no, I want to win 90 more. So finally, I'm like, okay, he really wants to go. So we quit. He didn't want to win six figures. He thought, you know, the heat would come down. Let's keep the game good and let's just go. So we left and we won 60K overall. And it worked out. And Razor got her $3,000 and everybody was happy.
She must have been thrilled.
Oh, she was so thrilled. It was awesome. And she...
The first half of that story, though, just reminds me of, you know, the glitter and glamour of professional gambling.
Yeah.
Right? No sleep, drive 9 hours just to get cash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Razor, sometimes if you show someone a hole card, like when I saw the first one, people are like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And they're super excited. Razor was just like, oh, hole card, whatever. Like, she didn't get the how cool this was. Like, I still think it's cool. When I see a new dealer, I'm like, oh, Christmas. She was just like, are we done yet? Can we go to bed? Like, she just didn't. She wasn't into it. But, I mean, she was helpful, but she just wasn't as excited as I was when I saw my first one.
Didn't know what to do with it. The very latest thing you've done on your RX gamble that I saw... it had to do a story for like you were 18 years old and you wanted to get some illegal ID.
Yeah, I wanted
now,
to
it's
get...
not exactly AP, but I can imagine why an 18-year-old would want ID saying she's 21.
Yeah, these were straight illegal. Like, these were not alias IDs. I just wanted an illegal fake ID.
Actually, for our listeners, can we define...
Yeah,
difference between an alias ID and a...
I'm going to fumble it up. If you really want to know, you know, Bob has to explain it or you have to read his book. But if you're using an ID without your name on it, there's things you can do to it that make it not illegal. And if you're using it for not fraudulent purposes, you're just gambling under that name. It's not illegal. This is not just Nevada. This is all... It's just not illegal. And Bob, I know of many cases where Bob... has gotten people off because it's really hard to explain. And I know of one story where Bob raced down to the casino for somebody and he explained the law to the cops who never know the law. And they actually let this guy go and gave him his alias ID back. And
the one thing I would say is you cannot have an ID that is a fake government document. So you can't have like a fake Nevada driver's license.
In Nevada, you cannot have an altered Nevada license. That is illegal.
Right.
100%. And I've never done, well, when I was 18, I was like, yeah, sure, no problem.
Right.
But no, in my career, never. Yeah. You don't have to break the law. You really don't to get around these things.
Yeah.
If you know what you're doing.
Right.
When you're 18, you didn't. So anyway, you want one of these IDs. So, somebody said they can get you one. So what happened?
Yeah, this is not an AP story, but
it could apply to
sure. I was on my way to meet this guy who was going to make me an ID. And I don't know, the IDs in Nevada used to be just laminated pieces of paper. And the way they do this was really cool. They'd cut out a number in your driver's license number and they'd switch it with a number in your birth date. They just switch them. And you couldn't even tell because the IDs were so not advanced. This was back in the day. Anyway, so I'm headed to this guy's house. He's going to take care of us. And I get a message on my beeper. This was before cell phones. And I have to call my friend. I believe it was Razor. And I had to... No, it wasn't. It was somebody else. Anyway, so I'm on the phone at 7-Eleven by the Boulevard Mall. And I'm like super bummed out that this guy canceled. I hang up and there's a guy there that overheard my conversation. And he said, oh, you know, I can get you a fake ID. And I was like, oh, really? Cool. Like, I don't even think this is weird. So he's like, yeah, drive me to the DMV and I'll hook it up. And he's on a bike. He locks his bike up and he gets in my car, Gary, and we drive to the DMV on Sahara. So he's like, let me go in and set it up. I was like, okay. So I think he wanted the money before he went in. It was $100. I'm not sure. Either before he went in or came out, he wanted $200 to get two IDs. So he goes in. 15 minutes later, he comes out. He's like, it's all good. Go to window 15 tomorrow at 1. She'll hook you up. Cool. Awesome. I drive Gary back to his bike. This is how naive I was. I drive him back to his bike. Cool. So me and my friend go to window 15 the next day. The window's open. You know, Gary sent me. What? Like, she has no clue what I'm talking about. Obviously, right? So I realize I got had, and I drive back to the Boulevard Mall. I go into Sears, where I knew he just bought this bike, and I find a salesman. I'm like, did you sell a bike to a skinny black dude yesterday named Gary? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, I need his address. He's like, I cannot give you that information. Okay, fine. So I take my friend, and we go to an apartment complex near the Boulevard Mall where he said he stayed. I'm driving around looking for his bike. I don't know what I'm going to do when I find him, but I'm very upset. And after 10 minutes, my friend, who is much smarter than me, said, you know, we got to go. We can't be doing this.
Is this the equivalent of, like, the projects? I mean, is this a safe
part
of town?
Yeah, it's not a good neighborhood. Yeah.
Well, it's really not a good neighborhood now.
I mean, but even then, whatever. it wasn't the greatest neighborhood. So we left. I was out $200. And, yeah, that's what happened.
It's one of those life lessons you learn when you're 18.
Yeah, it was a life lesson for sure.
What type of things do you put on your Twitter hashtag RxGamble?
I respond to people if I have knowledge, I guess, about what they like. Like, there was a tweet about, this is recent, maybe you heard of this. There's some people in Louisiana that got backroomed and they were going to sue. This was pretty recent. And I responded, you can't sue for punitives in Louisiana, at least as far as I know. That used to be the law. I just respond random things to people that have to do with gambling.
Yeah, there is sort of
right
advantage player stuff on there. I mean, obviously you can't go into too much detail Twitter.
The stories on my blog, I'll post if I write a new blog. And I tell AP stories, but I don't really give anything away. I like the Hua story, we drive to play this game. Like, I'm not giving anything away. Or he breaks up with his fiance. Nobody's getting anything out of that. So
what is AP life like now? Your son is a couple of years old, and so it's a little easier to travel.
Yeah, now that he's two, he's easier to take care of. So as long as I plan ahead, I can still travel, and I can still work in Vegas. It's just more regimented. Like, if I have to pick him up from school, so I can't, you know, stay past whatever. I have to give up opportunities, and sometimes I see something good and I give it to a friend and just hope I can get a piece of it because I can't play it. I'm not out to make a really good money really fast. I used to just be obsessed for a long time. And now that I have a kid, if I make money slower, it's okay. It's fine. That's fine. And my boyfriend also gambles. So he understands and he'll cover for me sometimes and I cover for him and it works.
Are you playing poker still anymore? Or?
You know, after the Aria game and after the Planet Hollywood incident, I thought I would go back to 5-10 and I would grind 5-10, maybe a little 2-5. I would just get back into it. And I swear I had PTSD. Like, I just couldn't do it. Like, after playing so big and those swings, and I'm playing with $5 chips now, like, I just couldn't do it. And I got some hate online. There was like a thread on a forum about, I was on Poker Night in America, and I played a hand, and some people were discussing it on a thread, and saying I played the hand badly or I didn't play it badly. I think maybe I did play it badly. Not huge, but I read all these messages. I was like, oh, they have a point. Anyway, somebody wrote, I played with this girl. She lost every time she played. And the fact is, in 2014, in a few months, I did lose every time I played. I just couldn't. Mentally, emotionally, like, I was outplaying myself. It was not good. And this guy was right, and I wanted to, like, sign up and be like, no, this guy is right, you know. But ever since then, and that bruised my poker ego. Like, the Aria game didn't. But when I can't beat 5-10 for a couple months, and it's not fun, like, that didn't feel good. So since then I had a baby, and I didn't play, and now it's just, I have other things to do. I can't sit there for 12 hours. It's just not a good time. I'm not done forever, but it, just for now, it's not really a good time.
Well, also, other than the big games, mm-hmm. I mean, do you feel like you can make as much money hourly in poker as you could at APing?
Well, some people say the games have changed. Like, when I was playing 5-10 regularly, it was 2010, 2009. And the games are definitely harder, but they're not beatable. And the AP stuff I do now is not... I mean, I've played stuff where the edge is just... You couldn't believe it. And that stuff is harder to get to now because I have a kid. So, I mean, I think APing, I make more, but there's still money in poker. I just... I don't know.
What kind of hourly do you think the 5-10 is worth?
Man. $50 an hour? Is decent. If you're making $50 an hour in 5-10, you know, good for you. Some people make 30. Some people.
So compared to blackjack, that's pretty low.
Oh yeah, and the variance is very high. But it's nice. You don't have to scout. You just go and you sit down.
That's true. You can put in as many hours as you want.
Right, and you don't have to leave. Like the, you know, when the dealer switches, you don't have to leave. You could just sit there for as long as you want. It has its benefits for sure. But the thing is, like I said, in 2014, poker has a lot of gray areas, like decisions you need to make. And I was making poor decisions for sure because I like I said, I definitely had PTSD. But when you play blackjack, it's black and white. You know, you do this, you do, like, there's no thinking. There's a few things where you think a little bit more, but it's pretty black and white.
Yeah, I think in blackjack or in carnival games or whatever, the thinking is more about how do I get the money out of the casino? How much can I win?
Yeah.
How much can I bet and stay?
Yeah, right. And it's also sometimes you have partial information, and so you need to know a lot of charts and a lot of different moves. So you have to recall a lot of information, but the answer is always there. It's always a black and white, you know, do this, don't do this kind of
thing. And if you go back after the play, you can go and, you know, I made this play, and you can go back and look it up and see, oh, I did make the right. Whereas in poker, I mean, I guess you can talk to other players and say, here's what happened, but still it's not.
Yeah. And 5-10, it's not hard. Like, it's not hard to beat 5-10 in my opinion. If you're a good player, it's just, you know, at that time I just couldn't do it. And I haven't really tried since, I guess. So, I mean, what I'm trying to say is the games are still good. That's the point.
Do you have any other, are there any other back roomings or arrests that we haven't talked about?
There's Ellis Island, Planet Hollywood, man, DEA, Louisiana, nothing. I feel like there was, and I'm forgetting. There had to have been.
I have to say, you have more back roomings and arrests than, than most advantage players, which I find odd because you can also kind of play that I'm just a girl card. And
I'm pretty recognizable. If you look in OSN and you look for female white blackjack player, there's not a lot of people.
That's true.
So I only get heat, honestly, when someone recognizes me. So I go to great lengths not to be recognized now. And it works. It works out. But that's why. And I'm very aggressive. Like, that's just how I play. Not on my spot, but if I'm play calling and I'm telling the BP what to do, I'm pretty aggressive overall. So sometimes that doesn't work in our favor.
do you stand on 12 against a 10?
Man, that is such a point of contention when I had a team, which I guess we didn't talk about that, but we would do something else besides hole carding, and I had a rule, always hit 12 versus a 10 up, and everyone else on the team was like, no, we can't hit 12, and it was like a big thing, and sometimes I would just have to give in and just stay on 12. That always irked me.
Now, I could see on a hole carding where you know the dealer has a 6 underneath. Mm-hmm. They now, are there other situations other than hole carding that you can hint about without giving too much away?
Well, that's like hole carding, for example. If the dealer has a 6 underneath, you really don't want to hit versus when they have a 2 underneath. Obviously, you know, they're going to bust more. They're going to bust more with 16. But there are other things where you have information, very strong information, and you really don't want to hit that 12. I don't even, and you might, yeah. Maybe you know the next card coming. Let's put it like that. And do you want to eat it and just take that 10 coming and just to look good? Or you don't want to, I mean, it's 100%. That card is going to bust you and you've got 2K out there. Are you going to eat it so you can play longer, or are you, you know, going to pass?
Well, and here's my feeling about that. Mm-hmm. Like, how big is the edge we're playing with? Right? We're talking about an edge that's more than 10%.
Oh, way more than 10%. Yeah, way more.
You can afford to hit a 12.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And eat that loss.
And I'm usually extremely aggressive, but that was always an argument with our team. You know, I want to hit it. It's just, you know, you're going to bust, and there's 2,000 out there, and that's going in the rack. So, but yeah, and if you want to play the long game, you hit your 12, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you haven't talked a lot about your team.
Yeah.
How long did it last? And any chance you'll go back to those days?
I started with Jesus in 2005. And then...
I'm assuming this is not Chris Ferguson.
No.
This is not a religious experience here.
No. This was just his nickname.
Okay.
So we started in 2005. And then this isn't giving anything away. We used to travel to Atlantic City. And there were so many opportunities, like no heat, nobody cared about their job. There was just so much to do that we needed to bring in more personnel to take advantage of the opportunities. So one by one, 2006, 2007, we would bring more people in. And then by 2008, Jesus was playing super high limit poker. He's a great poker player. And he was making more doing that than he was playing blackjack or whatever we were doing. So he kind of quit. He still played part-time, but then I started a team 2008, and then we broke up for the most part in about 2013. So it was like 5 years. But it was a strong team. We did really well. Yeah, I think we were super skilled. I mean, there's always somebody that's doing better than you, that's for sure. But yeah, it was a good time.
Very good. Could...
Kind of for me before mm-hmm. I retired, mm-hmm. which I'm.
Before you retired, which time are we talking about?
This current time,
yeah.
It became, you know, I had what I guess we would call a team, but in the later years, it became more like, hey, do you want to go play for a weekend?
Yeah,
and it could be like 2 out of 4 different people or something like that. You know what I mean? As opposed to a structured like. We're a team. The five of us are all going to, you know.
Well, I think at the height of the team, we had about 12 members. So we didn't all go on trips, obviously, but we worked a ton. And I put the team together, and it was kind of on me to schedule who goes where, when. And so we worked a ton, but not everybody went on every trip. And we didn't really talk to outside APs. We just kind of kept to ourselves and did what we were doing. And when the team ended up breaking up, it was because conditions changed and there were multiple people on the team that got into legal trouble, totally different situations, but it had to do with APing. And there were a few of us that had to pay a lot of money to get out of these situations and prove our innocence. And it just kind of, the other unskilled players on the team, because there were different levels of skill, they kind of moved on and got regular jobs. And I still play with some people like Hua. Hua was on the team and we still play. And I still communicate. They're still friends of mine. It wasn't like a bad thing why we broke up. It was just conditions changed. We got into trouble. And so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On many teams, they say there's always somebody who steals from you and you're just never surprised.
I've heard these stories.
So any stories that you've had that from... you've been fortunate to, or maybe you can't talk about it.
No, I can talk about it. I never brought in, I also brought everybody in, and I never brought anyone in that I couldn't hang out with, like that wasn't friends with, that I wouldn't want to be on an airplane with, for instance. And I don't know of anyone ever stealing. I mean, we were making good money. There was no reason to steal. And even the people we paid unskilled people to work with us. And like, for instance, we'd pay someone to fly to AC with us. Let's say we leave on a Thursday, we come back Monday. They get a free flight, they get free food, they get a free hotel, and we pay them $1,500, which is pretty decent, I think, for not doing anything. They're just...
compared to a real job.
Right. And they're just saving seats or moving chips back and forth. So even the unskilled players, I think, were happy with what they were getting. And
I bet you could get a lot of volunteers for that job if you... But you can't, you have to know somebody to take this $40,000 and go get
it. Oh, yeah. And nobody, that was something to deal with. I mean, we're in Atlantic City, not the greatest place. I once took a taxi, and you know, the taxi stays on one road. I think it's Atlantic. And if you want to go from the Taj to the Nugget or whatever, Tropicana, you're on one road. So I was in a taxi once with a ton of money, and the guy driving was like, "Do you mind if I go pick up some food?" I guess not. So he takes me on this weird route away from the casinos, and I'm like, is this guy going to rob me? Basically, he wanted to get in this place before they closed to get his food, and he came back and he dropped me off. But it was shady. Atlantic City is shady, and we had rules like if somebody steals from you, you're not responsible for the money, but if you lose it, you're responsible for X amount. We had a bunch of different rules, but I don't... as far as I know, nobody has ever stolen from me that I know of.
I would just say that the skimming that I know of that happened to me over the years, it's not the money. I mean, it is the money to them, but like if you look at it rationally, it makes no sense.
Right,
because
they're the long term
so much money.
Right.
And yes, in the long term, if they hadn't skimmed, they would have made so
more money than
what they skimmed.
I agree with you. And I have played with a person that I know was stealing in my early years, and maybe he stole from me. I don't know. And also, I guess if you have a team and your edge is just humongous, you might have to take into account someone's going to steal from you. But your edge is so high, it's like, okay, I factor it in. It doesn't matter, I guess.
Yeah.
It matters, but it doesn't, it's not going to break you.
And we had an incident, and this was a person who was not sort of a member of the team. At one point, we were hiring big players, Japanese big players. And
in Korea.
Well, no, but also in the United States. You know, just because it's great to have a guy with a Japanese passport betting the money.
I mean, for sure.
So these were not like friends, like you say. These were kind of guys who we met and hired and whatever. And we had one where we were staying in Caesars Tahoe. It used to be Caesars. Mm-hmm. And we were playing next door at Harrah's. And so he had $20,000 and he was supposed to, you know, go meet a player on the game who was there to read hole cards for him, right? And so we go set up at Harrah's, and the guy never showed up, and he just walked with the $20,000.
Really?
He just went to the airport and left.
Did you ever see him again?
We never saw him. We did get a hold of him eventually. You know, he was trying to hide.
Of course.
And, you know, his claim was that in between Caesars and Harrah's, which is like 100 feet, he got mugged, and he was so ashamed that he had lost our $20,000 that he couldn't face us, and so he went to the airport and left.
That makes sense.
But what do you do, right? I mean,
it's just the cost of doing business.
We didn't feel like we could call the police and report that he had stolen our money.
When I had my team, I ran it differently than a lot of other teams, whereas they get a BP, they burn them out, and they get a new BP. When I had my team, we kept the same BPs for years because We didn't deal with hosts, which cost us money in the short term, but in the long term, we'd have a BP. Compared to what his bet was, if he won X amount on his player's card, let's say his bet's 2K and he's up 100K or something like that, we retire him. And he stays out of that shop for 6 months, 9 months, and then he comes back as a new person. And because we never dealt with hosts, nobody recognized that this person was here 6 months ago. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you were using players' cards, but you
different
would be
names.
Able to get different names.
Yeah,
on the
and so
card.
And so we kept BPs forever, and we had enough of them. There were 12 people on the team. We had enough that we could bring in a new BP for if the game was still there, or the situation. And so we never retired anybody. Everyone just stayed with the team. And I know other teams don't do it that way, but it worked out for us. So we didn't have to deal with people we didn't know in general.
Yeah, well, this was a long time ago when we were doing this. And mm-hmm. it worked out really well in Korea, although we had some stealing there too. But mm-hmm. But then, yeah, later later we eventually just went to, you know, professionals were the
VPs. But getting a foreigner with a foreign passport or... like I said before, Asians, they can just fire. Like, you can't put me on a table. And I mean, I would love it, but I can't. The only times I've bet money, I said less than 10, where I wasn't with someone and I wasn't calling the shots. I had to say I was a stripper. That was always my go-to, because why would I have money to bet? And then when you tell them you're a stripper, for whatever reason, they feel like they can talk to you the entire shift. Like, you want to talk to them. You must... find them attractive. It's odd and it's uncomfortable, but it's just what you have to do.
Did you ever get a lap dance request?
No. Yeah. No.
Sounds like they didn't believe you.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a fun 2 weeks.
Oh, cool.
Thank you, RX. When you start getting arrested again, come mm-hmm. back and see us again.
Yeah,
well, there's more stories.
For sure.
This is fun. Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.